Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
My goodness gracious. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. I'm just watching all of this come out. Robert Hur testifying before Congress right now. Amazing stuff. We've got to get into this. I had to shake up the show to be able to cover this stuff out of the gate. The phone number here, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, happy to take your phone calls. As always, if you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get all the links, the show notes, and everything, and you're probably going to want it today because of all the audio and video that'll be included. It's just remarkable stuff we've got from the Robert Hur situation. So Robert Hur is the special prosecutor who investigated Joe Biden. We now have the transcript. The media is putting a wild, wild spin on Joe Biden's memory. He did not remember the year his son died. It came up in the transcript. He remembered the day when pushed, but he did not remember the day that or the year that Bo Biden died. He had to be reminded multiple times. Not only this, this is from Alex Thompson, a series of tweets you'll find in the show notes today if you're a subscriber. He's the national political correspondent at Axios. Biden repeatedly had to ask for help remembering dates. The lawyer stepped in. When did he announce for president? In 2019? Couldn't remember it. If it was in 2013, when did I stop becoming vice president? Was I still vice president in 2009? Donald Trump, he thought, got elected in November of 2017. Twice on the same day, Joe Biden had to be reminded what a fax machine was and remind him of a fax machine. When talking about the years 2017 and 2018, Biden said, quote, remember in this time frame, my son is either being deployed or is dying. And so what was happening, though, what month did Bo die? Oh, my God, May 30th. And then the White House pointed out it was actually in 2015 when Bo died, not 2017, 2018. Biden's team noted he had excellent recall in several parts of the interview and argued the missteps were exaggerated and cherry-picked, but that's not the case. The full exchange about Bo Biden's death was in 2015. When talking about 2017 and 2018, Biden talks about Bo being sick or deployed. That's actually not good. And then there is Hur's testimony himself. This is Robert Hur. And describing, to begin with, his opening before Congress today.
My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio-recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia. We also identified other recorded conversations during which Mr. Biden read classified information aloud to his ghostwriter.
And it goes on from there. He wants to justify as well what his task was, because this gets to the characterization of Joe Biden's memory.
My task was to determine whether the president retained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are the types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair. Most importantly, what I wrote is what I believe the evidence shows and what I expect jurors would perceive and believe. I did not sanitize my explanation, nor did I disparage.
Nor did he disparage the president. He goes on to say, ouch. And what did he find? He found documents everywhere. Everywhere.
Mr. Herr, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, in his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Oh, that's not good at all. That's really bad. He had documents spread out everywhere. Not only did he have documents spread out everywhere, but his ghostwriter, who he collaborated with, tried to delete information about Joe Biden sharing classified information with him.
Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Herr, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly Biden, what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
The very guy who was helping Joe Biden get the $8 million, $8 million Joe Biden used, the motive for Joe Biden to disclose classified information, to retain classified information, which he definitely knew was against the law. When you get...
That was Jim Jordan speaking there with Robert Herr. And yeah, Robert Herr says that the ghostwriter tried to slide the information to his recycle bin. The reason he's not getting prosecuted is because in that particular case, he says, he did seem to have some credible explanation that what he was doing wasn't actually intended to be some sort of violation of the law. He intended or had innocent explanations for what was going on. But not only did Joe Biden not have innocent explanations for what was going on, Joe Biden lied. Jerry Nadler is a Democrat, tried to run defense for Joe Biden on this issue, and then had Matt Gaetz respond. Listen to the juxtaposition here. This is Jerry Nadler asking questions about Joe Biden lying, and then Matt Gaetz, and of course, Robert Herr uses legalese here.
At any point in your investigation, did you have any reason to believe that President Biden lied to you?
I do address in my report one response the president gave to a question that we had posed to him that we deemed to be not credible.
Not credible, not credible. That was Jerry Nadler asking, do you think Biden lied to you? He says there was something not credible. So then Matt Gaetz followed up with this.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right?
Y'all, the media can spin this all they want. This isn't good. You've got Joe Biden trying to destroy documents. You've got his ghostwriter trying to delete evidence. You've got a recording of Joe Biden. Remember, key detail in the Trump classified documents trial is we've got Donald Trump with the ghostwriter, the ghostwriter who it was with Mark Meadows. And that ghostwriter asked or has the audio tape of Donald Trump sharing classified information and knowing it was classified information. with the ghostwriter. You hear the audio tape there. But so what's interesting here is we also have that sort of exchange with Joe Biden, where you've got the audio of him sharing knowing classified information with a ghostwriter, in fact, telling the ghostwriter where some of the information is. And, of course, it's remarkable where all the information is hidden. Again, he's got it all over the place. It's just remarkable the number of places Joe Biden was able to keep all of his documentation.
Mr. Herr, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, and his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
My goodness, that's a lot of classified information kept in all sorts of places. Now, the Democrats, of course, are noting that there's no attempt to prosecute him. And this goes back, as Robert Hur says in his testimony, that he's not going to prosecute him because he doesn't believe that people would find Joe Biden credible on the stand, that his memory was so bad that jurors wouldn't convict him based on his memory. The kind of funny juxtaposition here is that the Democrats want to attack him, Robert Hur, for his characterizations of Joe Biden's memory, and the reality is that those characterizations of Joe Biden's memory have kept him from being prosecuted, and the Republicans are mad at Robert Hur for not prosecuting Joe Biden. So he's asked, Robert Hur is, if Joe Biden is innocent. Listen to this exchange here.
Correct.
In this case, did you reach a conclusion that this man was outright innocent?
That conclusion is not reflected in my report, sir.
If this man is innocent, that conclusion is not reflected in the report. This isn't good. The media is going into super spin mode, allowing on the Biden team to go after the memory records. But we've now got the transcript. Joe Biden couldn't remember what a fax machine was. Joe Biden couldn't remember dates. Joe Biden was dwelling on 2017, 2018. That was when Beau Biden was sick or deployed. Not dying, sick or deployed. He actually died in 2015. It was Joe Biden who brought it up to talk about in 2017, 2018, why things were so chaotic and why there were these classified documents. Beau Biden had been dead for several years. This is a pretty damning indictment of President Biden's memory problems. Not only that, a pretty damning indictment of Joe Biden's handling of classified materials over 40 years, spread through multiple locations, going back to the time he was in the United States Senate. There's no good way to put lipstick on this pig for the Democrats. Now, obviously, it's political. They're going to try, and they're going to have a national press corps try to help them as much as they can. But the facts are not in dispute here. Joe Biden couldn't remember very basic details, got years wrong when his son was sick and dying, tried to use his son's sickness and deployment as excuses for why he did things, even though the guy was already dead by then. Just none of this is good. It comes off the high. The media tried to rebuild Joe Biden as the comeback kid after the State of the Union. And now the truth comes out. The man has serious problems when it comes to his memory. These are damning things.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, let's go to the phones. Will, you're going to be up first. Welcome.
Hey, hello, Eric. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So the question I had was, is there a different legal standard for the documents that Biden may have taken from the time he was a senator versus being the vice president or the president?
Yes. I'm glad you asked that question. This makes me look smart because I was going to get to this. I know the answer to this. Talking to several members of the Senate, they said it's actually a very big deal that Joe Biden has classified documents from his time in the Senate because when you're obtain classified documents in the Senate, there's a room you go to review the classified documents, and they're not supposed to leave that room. That Joe Biden took those documents from that room suggests he was not following proper procedure at the time. Staff members would actually go to prison for doing this. Members of the Senate, not necessarily so, but it would be a very big deal and a legal issue for a senator to take classified documents from that room. He should not have any classified documents at his home from his time in the Senate, and yet he did. Over a 40-year period, he had classified documents. Not only did he have classified documents from his time then, but as vice president and as president, he maintained them when he was a private citizen. And one of the things that Robert Herr pointed out is that Joe Biden knew he had classified documents. He knew he had them. I mean, that's part of the issue with the ghostwriter deleting audio files, where in the audio files, Joe Biden acknowledged where classified documents were, pointing to some in his garage, pointing to some in his office. He knew he had them. In fact, the special prosecutor points out there's actually a level of its pride and greed. He wanted to write his book and cash in on his time in office. And there was a level of pride that, don't you know who I am? I should be able to keep this stuff. All of this conspiring to cause this. And yet the special prosecutor concludes that Joe Biden is not mentally fit to stand trial on this issue. So, I mean, the alternative for Democrats is he should be prosecuted like Donald Trump, but they don't want that either. So they'll bellyache and complain, but actually be thankful that these results are what happened. Now, I want you to get great results with Eden Pure. I'm so glad to have them back. If you go to EdenPureDeals.com today, you can get three Eden Pure thunderstorms. What are they? They're air purifiers, and they're small. You can hold this thing in your hand, and it packs a wallop. And not only is an air purifier, it uses electrostatic plates, so you don't have to keep getting filter subscriptions. It wipes out odors. Wipes them out. I've used it in my car when I was on the golf course and might have kept my cigar too close to the car and blew smoke in, and my car smelled like a cigar, and it wiped out the odors. I've got a friend of mine who's smoked in his vehicle. I've used it in rental cars when, man, you could smell the rental car before you got to it, and it wipes out the odors. I carry one. I travel with one all the time. It's in my travel bag wherever I go to wipe out smoke odors, musty odors in hotel rooms. Musty odors, smoke odors, pet odors, litter box odors, frying odors, you name it, wipes out those odors. You get three of them for less than $200 at EdenPureDeals.com. Your discount code is ERICK3. ERICK and the number 3. ERICK, the number 3 at EdenPureDeals.com. You get one for upstairs, downstairs, your basement, your RV, your travel bag, wherever you need. Three of them, less than $200. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code is ERICK3. ERICK3. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. If you want a synopsis of how this day is going for Joe Biden, all you need to do is go to the Drudge Report. Not exactly friendly to Donald Trump's Republican Party these days. Here are the three links at the very top of the site. One, prosecutor who said Biden had poor memory speaks to House panel. Two, repeated mental lapses during special counsel interview. Three, warning for Dems. And then the two big headlines right above the title of the site, Drudge Report, the two big ones: inflation back higher, gas prices surge. We focused on the council investigation the first half of the show. We should talk about inflation because things are not good. Consumer prices rose 0.4% in February, which was predicted, up 3.2% from a year ago. So remember, let's go back to Gary Cohen from yesterday's show. He was on Face the Nation explaining why this isn't good and why consumers are actually appropriately aggrieved.
But the president is tapping into at least a perception that wealthy people have far more of an advantage and that corporations are taking advantage of the little guy. I mean, he went down to the 10% fewer Snickers in the bag analogy in his speech, basically saying you're getting ripped off. So what do you make of that idea, though, and the explanation he's trying to make for why people are experiencing inflation, even though the rate is coming down?
Well, let's talk about inflation for a minute, because I think it's a really important concept for everyone to understand. Inflation has a compounding effect, meaning as you look at inflation year over year, you're adding up those numbers. You're not starting at a zero every year. So if we had 6% inflation last year, 7% inflation, and now we have 4% inflation, that's 10% inflation. So if you take a basket of groceries at the beginning of 2020, just a simple basic basket that cost $100, it costs well over $125 today, because those 4% 1 year and 7% 1 year and 7% the next year, they add up. They're cumulative. So there's a huge cumulative effect inflation.
So when people are being told, consumers, you're wrong, inflation's heading, no, they're right.
They're completely right. They're completely right. And what they're more right about is we at least finally have gotten to the position where wage growth is faster than inflation. But we had not been there till the last few months. So yeah. People were losing purchasing power, and that's why people were angry. And then take on top of that the high interest rate environment, where if you thought you might have been in a position to buy a house because you save money, you go out to get a mortgage at 7 or 8%, you can't afford a house. Mm-hmm. So people got very frustrated because the cost of their everyday lives got very expensive, and the cost of investing in their future by buying a home got nearly impossible.
Yes. That's Gary Cohen, who was an economic advisor for Donald Trump, and he's absolutely right. It is a cumulative effect. Prices have not gone down. They're just not going up as fast, but they're still going up. So something that went up 6% is now going up 3%, so up 9% total. And your wages have not matched it until very recently, so you're only just now at parity. You've been lagging behind. Your purchasing power has gone down. Your economic power has gone down. And now the economic news from today.
Our February read on the consumer price index headline number expected to be up 0.4% is up 0.4%. Now, if we look at the most recent lower number in this series, we had 0.3 in January and we had 2.2s in November and December. So this is now a firming issue as we've had back-to-back reads. We had up 0.4, now X food and energy also up 0.4, 1/10 hotter. So we have back-to-back on headline and core up 0.4%. Now, 0.4 equals the look we had last month on core, and the most recent lower number was October. That was up 0.2. That happened to have been the lowest since Feb of 21. So we're firming here. Now, the year-over-year numbers also hotter than expected. 3.2 on headline year-over-year. That's 3.2. That will be the highest since Dece when it was 3.4. January remains at 3.1. If we look at year-over-year core, 3.8. Now, this is interesting. This is 1/10 hotter than we were expecting.
From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a stop.
There we go. Sorry, wanted to spill over in there. This isn't good. Gas prices back up. They had been trending down. They're going up. That means that inflationary costs for energy and food are going to go up as gas prices go up, food prices go up. Why? Because factored into the cost of your food is also the cost of transport to market, which is an energy cost related to the gas or diesel put into the trucks that are driving them. This isn't a good situation for Joe Biden trying to run for re-election. This gives, again, an advantage to Donald Trump. Not only that, there's a warning sign in the Wall Street Journal. Let me read you part of this from the Wall Street Journal. The 401k is doing double duty as both a retirement account and a source of emergency funds for most Americans. A record share, I should say more Americans, not most Americans, a record share of 401k account holders took early withdrawals from their accounts last year for financial emergencies. Overall, 3.6% of its plan participants did so last year, up from 2.8% in 2022 and a pre-pandemic average of around 2%. Retirement plans such as the 401k are designed to keep America's nest eggs out of reach until later in life. And values in these accounts have risen substantially in part because of strong stock markets and programs that automatically funnel money from people's paychecks into their 401ks. These surging balances, however, have helped make more people comfortable dipping into their accounts when needed. Americans are dealing with conflicting financial forces. While hiring has been strong and worker earnings keep rising, the cost of groceries, childcare, and car insurance keep climbing. More people are carrying heftier balances on their credit cards. These are not economically good times like the Biden administration wants you to believe. Now, again, it's worth pointing out that the macroeconomic picture is very good for the United States. The United States has a better macroeconomic picture than any other country. What do I mean by national or macroeconomic picture? The national economy. The national economy compared to other countries is much better. We're number one. But that's like being the tallest midget right now, because we're not doing well for individual consumers and households and families. The costs continue to go up for people. The Fed wants to bring inflation down below 3%, as close to 2% as possible. They do not intend to lower interest rates until they get there. After four consecutive months of decline, the energy index rose 2.3%, a main factor in pushing up overall CPI, price at the pump can whip around from month to month, but the increase is a reminder commodity prices go up as well. Tailwinds from normalizing supply chains help cool prices for goods, though some economists question how much further that had to run. For the first time since May, good prices, excluding food and energy prices, though the increase was slight, 0.1%, 0.1%. Prices rose, just not significantly. But there's another problem. It's one that's not getting a lot of headlines, but this actually is a big problem. The Panama Canal and the Suez Canal. The Panama Canal is in a drought situation. Water is not flowing well in Panama. Lakes are low. They're having to limit shipping. That's slowing down shipping traffic for supply of goods. That and the supply-demand curve, as that supply goes down because it's taking slower to get to port, it's going to cause demand prices to go up. Demand to go up, that's going to cause prices to go up. Same with the Suez Canal, except the Suez Canal isn't a drought situation. It's a war situation. The Houthi are trying to stop ships and blow up ships in the Red Sea. As a result, shipping is having to divert. It takes 15 to 25 extra days for ships to go around Africa than to go through the Suez Canal. It's a quicker shot, even if you're going west to get to the United States from Asia. You go around the Arabian Peninsula, up through the Red Sea, into the Suez Canal, out into the Mediterranean, across into the Atlantic, and across the Atlantic. It's easier than to go down to the bottom of the Indian Ocean, go around the bottom of Africa, up into the southern Atlantic, up to the North Atlantic, and over. That's a much longer trip. And, of course, a lot of things are shipped not Asia to the United States via the west. They go east through the Panama Canal. But a lot of parts manufacturers ship to Europe, where parts are put into vehicles and other items that are then shipped into the United States by plane. And that process is slowing down, and that causes prices to go up. All of these things with the supply chain are coming back to haunt Joe Biden, in large part because of his weakness in dealing with the Houthi in the Red Sea. He continues to do a tut-tut slap on the wrist effect to the Houthis as opposed to blowing them up. He claims he doesn't want to escalate. Meanwhile, the Houthi keep escalating. They're still opening fire. The consumer price index goes up. This isn't good for American consumers. And the result is it's not good for Joe Biden. It's not good for him, for his reelection campaign. That means it's good for us. More likely he gets booted from office. Someone with better policies gets in there. But for Democrats, there's got to be some level of stark panic that this is happening, some level of stark panic that the Republicans could take back the White House, and they have no there to be able to stop it. It's phenomenal to watch the Democratic meltdown happening as they realize the Hur report, for example, is a problem for Joe Biden. You've got the economic situation is still a problem. People tapping into their 401k becomes a problem. The money has to be paid back or they get taxed. The economy remains a huge issue, and despite all the Democrat lecturing on the economy is just fine, it's really not for consumers. Again, at the macroeconomic level, we're better than every other country. Hooray! At the microeconomic level, it still sucks for families, and your costs are still going up, and your wages, hourly wages, are only getting above the cost of living. But what's notable, and no one wants to pay attention to it, is so many of the full-time jobs in this country right now are not really full-time jobs. They're two part-time jobs the government puts together to say they're getting 8 hours a day, which means you have no benefits, so you're covering your health care costs as well. That's going up. When health care costs are one of the biggest increases month over month, and you're working two part-time jobs and have to pay for Obamacare to get health insurance, that isn't being talked about by the government, but that's in the statistics, that our full-time American workforce is actually multiple part-time jobs put together to count as one job. That means you get no benefits. That means you have problems. That means you have costs that the government can't meet. And that means that you're angry with Joe Biden and the Biden White House wants to lecture you instead. Now, before I get out of here, let me go to the phones. Alan, calling from Greenville, South Carolina. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, Eric. Thank you for taking the call. The Democrats are in a real dilemma. They've either got to accept that President Biden doesn't have all of his mental capabilities, and if they want to take the position that he does, in fact, have all of his mental capabilities, then they've got to prosecute him by oath.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the damned if you do, damned if you don't thing for Joe Biden here. If he is in his right mind, he should be prosecuted. If he's not in his right mind, he shouldn't be president. Democrats want to have their cake and eat it too here and say he's in his right mind, but he did nothing wrong, unlike Donald Trump, who we're prosecuting. They have put themselves in this box, and it's hilarious to watch them squirm in the box, knowing that none of the answers they give are going to be good for them. And they're going to have to deal with it. The Democrats own the situation. They prosecuted Donald Trump for his behaviors. They'll say, oh, Joe Biden, he cooperated. Joe Biden for 40 years was taking classified documents and knowingly sharing them with others, and he was caught on tape. It's a pretty big deal. And the only way to get him out of prosecuting him is to say he's not mentally competent, which the Democrats can't bring themselves to do because they can't get rid of him as their nominee. After all the big hubbub and the relaunch and the reboot for Joe Biden last week at the State of the Union, what do I always tell you guys? Events. Events change things. He went from the State of the Union this week to a special prosecutor's testimony before Congress this week for all of America to see Joe Biden is not up to snuff. There's no way to avoid the conclusions of the special prosecutor, because if you ignore those conclusions, it then raises the other issue of why then are you not prosecuting Joe Biden? Hillsdale College wants you to be a part of their team, wants you to develop a relationship with them, and I hope you would. They're offering you a great series of lectures from Victor Davis Hanson on citizenship and its decline and the progressive agenda to decline citizenship and make us something other than American citizens. If you understand the problem, you can be educated on the solutions, and it's part of what Hillsdale College likes to do, is to not just show you problems in the world, but provide you paths, means, and opportunities to fix the problems. And they do this with Victor Davis Hanson so well. You can take this course at your own pace, at no cost, from Hillsdale College. All you do is go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, EricForHillsdale.com, EricForHillsdale.com. Y'all, I love Hillsdale College. I tried to get my kid to go there, but she didn't want to go to Michigan because of the winters, but I would do it. I didn't know about Hillsdale when I was in school. I obviously wouldn't have met my wife because we went to college together, but man, everybody I know who went to Hillsdale is such a smart, smart shooter. They turn out great, great people. And then there's my friend Raz. He went there too, but we won't talk about him. Y'all, I love Hillsdale. I love Larry Arnn. I love what they do. And I love this course because it's Victor Davis Hanson. That Victor Davis Hanson. Don't take my word for it. Sign up yourself. EricForHillsdale.com. E-R-I-C-K. EricForHillsdale.com. You can thank me later. Y'all, this course is so worth it. Series of lectures. Do it your own pace. I gotta leave. But y'all, it's brilliant, and it's Victor Davis Hanson. Yes, that Victor Davis Hanson. EricForHillsdale.com.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I'd love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. They are in Noonan, Georgia, but they can help your business anywhere in the United States. If you're buying a building, building a building, if you are buying a franchise, buying on a business partner or competitor, those are the deals they deal with. If you need $250,000 or more for your business, reach out to them at FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. So I need y'all's input here. My kids go to a very small classical Christian education school, very small. It is not a school of great means. Doesn't have all the fancy facilities and stuff that other schools have, and we donate as much as we can. And I'm just wondering about doing a kind of like rent a place, do a bourbon and cigar event, an Ask Me Anything event. People come and make a charitable contribution to the school. I'm thinking out loud here. I want to help my kids' school. We have financially given what we can give, and I suspect there are a lot of people who might want to pay to hang out with me and do an Ask Me Anything, and all the contributions would be tax deductible to this school. And I don't know. I want to support the school. If you're in my Instagram stories, if you follow me on Instagram, go to my stories. and they have a link. They're trying to raise $75,000, and they got most of it raised. I think they got 63% of the money raised. And I just, we love the school and have given as much as we can give and still try to. And it's just, it's nice. It's a safe place for my kids and so many other kids. And I just, classical Christian education schools, a lot of them struggle. They don't have the massive endowments because they don't have the well-to-do, hoity-toity people who show up at these schools typically. A lot of it is very middle class, and it's families of faith. You have to be of faith to go to the school. They interview the parents about their faith before the kids can come to make sure that everybody's kind of in this together with a shared faith cultural vision. It's just so good. And one of the things I love is they prepare my kids to go into a world that's going to be hostile to their faith, and prepare them so they don't surrender their faith. In fact, one of the things I pay for the school to do is do a program every year with a group out of Nashville that comes down and teaches kids, you're going to go into the world and the world is hostile to your faith. How do you not lose your faith? And then ask the tough questions like, why did God give my mom cancer and stuff? They answer theologically all those questions, and I want to support them. And I'm wondering if there's like enough demand to do some sort of event in Atlanta and have people come give a donation. If y'all want to chime in with feedback, shoot me a note. I want to help the school as best I can. We'll be back. We got a lot more to talk about.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.